Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Guess what? We are going to go in depth today about bison. And I'm so excited because we actually are going to chat it up with our friends from Dakota County. Tom Lewanski is here. He is the natural resource manager for Dakota County Parks. And he's joined today by Mike Longacre, who is the communication specialist for Dakota County. And as many people have heard, there has been a return of bison to Dakota County's prairie land, which is really, really, really exciting news. So we're going to get to the bottom of that and learn more about how it's going. First of all, thanks for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mo, for the invite.
Let's talk about this project. Who wants to give a little bit of background about how long this has been in the making?
Sure. It's been in the making in my head for decades.
Oh.
I have been involved in a lot of prairie restoration in the Twin Cities area. Say 300 years ago, Dakota County was probably 80% prairie in Oak Savannah. And the prairie was maintained by kind of three main processes, if you will. The climate, fire, and grazing. And the primary grazer, the native grazer, was the bison. So as we're restoring prairie to many of the Dakota County parks, we utilize fire as a management tool. Of course, the climate is around us. There's not much we can do about that on a daily basis. And it was that grazing piece that was missing, that I was hoping at some point in my career that we could reintroduce the native grazer. And so four and a half years ago, I received a phone call from one of the Dakota County commissioners who said, Tom, would we ever consider reintroducing bison? He had a discussion with the executive director of the Minnesota Zoo. And I said, boy, I don't know, commissioner, that's a big project. So let me call you back. Anyway, that started us on this journey of exploring what was possible. And here we are 4 years later. We actually had the bison show up in October, and they're out on the prairie at Spring Lake Park.
It is just crazy. So Spring Lake Park actually had to prepare for this as well, didn't it?
Yes, and that started decades ago, too, as we're restoring prairie out there. We needed to make sure that the prairie was in place, that they had something to eat when we brought them back. And so we have restored about 160 acres of prairie over towards the western end of the park. So as we're moving forward with this project, obviously bison over the millennia just wandered around North America. Well, we can no longer do that for obvious reasons, so we had to put in fences that would keep the bison safe and healthy, as well as keeping our park visitors safe as well. So there's about 6 miles of perimeter fence on the park. We have about 39 gates in it as well. They need waterers. So all of that infrastructure we had to put in place before we actually brought the animals in, Mo.
It's really fascinating to think that this was a concept and now it's reality. What does it make you feel as somebody that this is what you do for a living?
It is one of the most important things, I think, in my professional life to be able to do this for a number of reasons. I am a lifelong resident of Dakota County. Knowing that bison used to be in the county and have not been here for about 180 years. So there's that whole historical, natural history part of it. But what is also as exciting for me is this project allows us to help tell the story of the relationship that the bison had with the indigenous people of this area, the Dakota people. That relationship between the bison and Dakota people was so close for thousands of years and still is, that this project is helping us to tell that story. Mm. So it's very rewarding. I've been working on it for about 4.5 years, and to be able to see the bison come off the trailer and go out into the prairie was very rewarding.
Can you please tell us, Mike, how important is this to Dakota County from your standpoint as well, as somebody that maybe is looking at it from a different angle in the communications piece and really talking about all the good things in Dakota County. Is this pretty unusual?
It's a special thing is what it is. And it's a really unique story to be able to tell in the community for Dakota County. We are currently unique in the sense that Dakota County, I think, is really one of the few, one of, if not the only county in Minnesota with a bison range that's open to the public.
That's right. The other county that does have bison is Olmsted County. The
Zolman Zoo. Is that down by Rochester?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, Zolman Zoo has some bison. But I think how we're different than that is that we're not a zoo. It's not a display. The animals are out there to play their ecological part on this 150 acres of prairie. So it is very unique in that standpoint. And I should also mention, Mo, that some important partners in this project have been the Minnesota Bison Conservation Herd, which is made up of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, the Minnesota Zoo, and Zolman Zoo down in Rochester. And the goal of that partnership is to establish a statewide bison herd, if you will, of 500 animals. And 500 animals is kind of a minimum to make sure that the genetics are right. We're trying to weed out, if you will, any cattle genes that are still in the bison. So back, you know, historically there were maybe 30 to 40 to 50 million bison that roamed across North America from northern Canada.
It's amazing.
To northern Mexico, almost to the Atlantic Ocean, all the way over to the Rocky Mountains. Their numbers went from, say, 40 million down to a couple thousand. And one of the entities that helped to save the bison were ranchers that took bison into their ranch. They didn't necessarily want to protect the animal. Maybe some of them did. They wanted to bring them in and have them breed with their cattle so that they could get the benefits, if you will, of each of those animals. Well, that didn't work out very well, but what it did was it protected, you know, maybe 1,000 or 2,000 bison that really were the core, if you will, of this effort to expand and increase the number of bison in North America.
So what's the difference between a bison and a buffalo?
There are two different animals.
Which I think most people use those terms interchangeably.
They do, yes. They are two different animals. Buffalo are in, I think they're in Asia. I'd have to look that up.
What? There aren't even buffalo around here?
There's no buffalo in North America. No, it's the bison. There were two maybe subspecies of bison in North America, the plains bison and the woodland bison, which were up in Canada.
So we're getting that song all wrong. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam.
Yes, unless you're in Africa or Asia and you could sing that, that'd work well. So it should be bison. You're exactly right.
Wow. Did you know that, Mr. Communications?
It's been an education.
I would assume that it has been. This is just such a great project. And you mentioned that you worked with some of these other entities to bring the bison here. How did you know the magic number?
The magic number for us is 15.
Oh.
So even though this project has been in the planning stage for 4 years, what that did was it allowed us to do a number of things. One, we are very interested to see how the bison impact the prairie they're going into. And so we spent the last 4 years looking at what are the birds that are breeding out there, what are the plants that are there, what are the butterflies, the beetles, what's the life out there? And so we can track changes over time. Another thing that we've been able to do is get in and we did a forage analysis, how much food is for the bison. So we have a couple of years under our belt knowing how much food is there. And then based on how much forage there is, that tells us what's the maximum number of bison we can have out there.
Oh, sure.
So being very conservative, because we want to make sure that the bison are healthy, have enough to eat, we landed on 15. Now, as the bison become established out there, we may see that we have too many, that they're eating too much, or we may find out, you know, they're not having the impact that we need them to have, so we need to up that number. And so 15 is the number right now that we're shooting for. We have 8 that will spend the winter for us. They're all females. A couple of the cows may be pregnant, so we might see some calves out there in the spring. It will be a breeding herd, but we decided to hold off on bringing a bull in until maybe the fall of 2024. And so his offspring would then be born in spring of 2026.
you have 8 right now. It does it matter what kind of calves they have? Does it matter if it's a boy or a girl? Do you shift babies between sites, or how does this work?
If they have a male calf, he will be able to be in the herd until he becomes breeding age at about year 2.
Okay.
Then either he goes or his mom and sisters need to go, so there's no inbreeding. Likely he will go, and then at some point we'll identify, we're starting to have these discussions now with the partnership. If we're going to bring in a bull, where is it coming from? The partnership has brought bulls in from South Dakota, from Yellowstone, from all over the place, just to make sure that we're bringing in genetic variability, if you will, into the herd.
So are there any bison right now in the United States that are just roaming free completely?
Yes. Yellowstone. You've probably seen.
Oh, of course I have. Yes. They've circled my car at one time. Yes. Yeah. It was very exciting.
I like you. That's what I've heard. They have been roaming free in Yellowstone forever.
So Yellowstone is doing something right.
Well, the people of America are doing something right by allowing enough wilderness there so that they have enough place to wander and just be bison.
Do bison have one baby calf, or how many do they usually have at a time?
Usually one. Unusual to have two.
That really isn't enough, is it, to keep the herd moving forward? Who is their predator?
Their native predators were wolves and grizzly bear. So there aren't any more predators for them. Once we get to the maximum number 15, what's going to happen? We will have to get rid of the excess animals. And that could be, we're having some discussion with some of the local indigenous communities in the area. Maybe we can provide it for them. If there's another partner and they are looking for a female 2-year-old or something, we could provide it to them. We have a couple of years before we really need to figure that out, but we're having some discussions now about it. But you're right, at 15, we'll have to have some leave the herd.
The 8 that you have right now, were they all born in captivity?
These were all bred mostly in either Minneopa State Park or at Blue Mountain State Park down in the southwestern part of the state.
What happened to the bison all those years ago that they were heading towards extinction?
There was a concerted effort by the U.S. government to reduce the bison down as a way of controlling the indigenous people in America, to be totally honest with you. There was also a lot of hunting, if you call it, or shooting as they made the intercontinental train. People used to go out and they would just shoot bison as they would. So it really was a way of controlling the indigenous people in the plains of North America.
And as you're getting to know these bison, I know they're not pets, they're wild animals, but do they each have different personalities? I mean, could you pick one out versus another by either how they look or their personality?
Well, maybe not individually. There are some physical characteristics, like the lead cow. It's a herd animal.
Okay.
That is, it's female led. Thank goodness there. The lead cow has a wonky horn, so that's how I can pick her out. The latest yearling we got has a little stubby tail, so I can tell them apart, but they tend to hang out in same age groups. So we have 2 2-year-olds that kind of hang out. We have 2 yearlings now that sort of are together. And then the main group, if you will, there are 2 cow-calf pairs, and they're kind of the nucleus. And so how it works is we have these 2 cows and their calves, and then just outside of that would be the yearlings that are kind of hanging out, and outside of that would be the 2 2-year-olds. And they kind of move as a group, but if one of the 2-year-olds, for instance, gets too close to one of the calves, mom lets them know that you need to back off and will chase them away. But they still stay together as this group.
Did you know much about this herd hierarchy before?
Sort of.
Okay.
4.5 years ago, I knew exactly diddly about bison. And so I've had to ramp up my own knowledge about this animal. There's a lot of research that's been done on how the bison impact the prairie. The reason that we're bringing them in is they primarily eat the native grasses. And when you're doing prairie restoration, the native grasses tend to take over. And so when we're trying to get more flowers or forbs in, that's difficult. But when you bring in the grazer, they're eating the grasses, that allows the flowers to help to compete with the grasses. So you have more flowers growing out there. And there's a cascading process. If you have more flowers, you're going to have more insects. And if you have more insects, you're going to have more birds. So it just builds the whole community. But in addition to that, their scat provides habitat for certain insects. It recycles nutrients. They have this tendency to wallow, which means that they fall on their sides and they roll around in the ground. Well, some of these animals are 1,500 pounds. When they roll around in the ground, that does a couple of things. One, it exposes mineral soil. So if you're a prairie seed out in the prairie and you need to have mineral soil in order to germinate and grow, your chances of finding that out in the prairie are pretty slim. And so the bison are exposing the soil, the seed falls there, it can germinate and grow. They also compact the soil, being as heavy as they are. Those little depressions tend to hold water, which provides breeding territory for frogs and toads, as well as drinking water for other animals that are out there. So it goes on and on. Grassland birds use their fur to line their nests so their babies have a nice, soft place to live.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fun.
What is something we don't know about bison?
From just a standing position, they can jump 6 feet in the air.
No, I just made that up.
Oh. No, that's true. That is totally true. The bulls are about 2,000 pounds. They can jump 6 feet in the air. And they can run between 35 and 40 miles an hour.
So don't mess with them.
You do not want to mess with these animals. And you can't think, oh, I'm just going to outrun it. Look at that big old doofus. That's not going to happen. So our fences are 7 feet high.
Oh, shocking.
They're incredibly athletic animals. You wouldn't know it by just looking at this thing standing out there, because it's a huge animal, but they're almost as athletic as Mike here.
Almost.
Exactly, almost.
But they can be playful too, Tom, right?
Like you. They're very playful. So when we released the last yearling that came in, she came a little later. She had a health issue, so she was over at the Minnesota Zoo getting taken care of, and she's great now. For any of the listeners that are concerned about that, she's doing great.
Good.
So when she got off the truck, the two calves started chasing her around, and they were actually playing with her. I don't think their mom appreciated that so much, because she quick that you need to leave it alone and they need to leave you alone. But they are very playful animals. They're very docile and calm animals too, until the moment that they're not. And so we have to be careful when visitors come out to the park. I've seen people that have their dogs off a leash. That's a no-no, because if a dog gets in there, that's probably not going to be a good thing. So it's an extremely interesting animal.
Well, it's an extremely interesting project, and I want to congratulate you. I know how hard you have been working on this, so thank you for all your hard work, and it's just wonderful. Mike, if people want to go out and actually see them in person, how could they do that?
Well, right now, for the next few months, throughout the winter months, the likelihood that they'll be visible, it's probably on the lower end. As winter turns to spring, they'll be moved to a different area of the range where they'll be more visible to the public. But the public can go down right now and experience the prairie that's now being covered in snow. But, you know, Tom probably can get us a better sense.
So these animals are coming from three different areas. So they needed to get to know each other so they can form their herd. And it's also a new place. So we put them in kind of a secluded area. They'll spend the winter out there, Mo, so that they can be acclimated to their new home and to each other. As Mike suggested, in the spring, we will move them to a different paddock that will be closer to the Mississippi River Greenway, so people will have a better chance of seeing them. But we're really trying to make sure that the bison have as little stress as possible as they're getting to know their new homes. That's the number one goal for us, is to make sure that these animals are healthy and safe. And so we ask people to be patient. In the spring, they'll be in a much better place to look at, but we have to think about the health of the animals first.
Great to see both of you. Thanks for coming in today. Mike Longacre, he's a communication specialist for Dakota County, and Tom Lewanski is the natural resource manager for Dakota County Parks. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.